And I promise you this morning, when you get to that place that you fully submit yourself unto God, He will save you. There was a man by the name of Stephen over there, and he looked over at him. He said, "You stiff-necked and uncircumcised at heart." He said, "Why do you always resist the Holy Ghost? Why? When God's Spirit moves and it convicts you, that is the time to move." This morning, I want to encourage you. You think about all the things that God has given you, your family, your parents, homes, whatever it is. And none of that compares to what God gives you inside of here. None of that. I have an interest and a desire in your prayers, and I want you to feel free this morning to seek God. I really don't know just exactly if this message is for the lost this morning or for the saved. And you say, "Preacher, you probably ought to know that." Well, I just don't know. So I'm just going to give it to you like God give it to me. I want to talk to you this morning about sin. I want to talk to you this morning because even though I'm a preacher of the gospel, still sin affects me every day. I feel like a lot of times that we want to place preachers on pedestals and different things of that nature. I want you to know this morning that I'm still a man and I still fail. The devil still puts temptations out in front of me, and I still fail him. I still sin every day. I want you to know that that sin is what causes a separation. It's sin is what separates us from God. And I want you to know, church, this morning that I have a longing that's in my heart that each and every day that I do better than I did the day before. I want to be better. I want to be a better preacher. I want to be a better pastor. I want to be a better daddy. I want to be a better husband. I want to be a better servant of Christ. Each and every day I want to do better than the day that I did before. I'm on what you'd call a journey, each and every one of us are. And each and every day along this journey, I want to try to do a little bit better. But sin still has its effect on me. It has an effect on each and every one of us. And listen to me this morning, lost friend. If you're here and lost, and maybe this morning, I want you to know this. That you might can lie to me. You might can lie to mama and daddy or grandpa and grandma and say, "No, I'm not lost. No, God has never dealt with me in that manner." But I want you to know that God knows where you stand with Him this morning. He knows this morning, and you know this morning if you're lost and separated from Him. See, God allows us to see ourselves for what we are. Standing in His presence, if you will. So we know this morning. And if you don't know, I'll ask you to seek out God. I fully believe this morning the Lord will let you know where you stand with Him if you really want to know. I think about sin causing a separation. When I thought of this lesson, I thought about a few things, and I kept coming back to a place in Scripture here, and I've got a few verses on my heart this morning. I'll try not to be too lengthy. God had led the children of Israel out of Egypt, and with a mighty hand. No doubt that God had heard their cries. They had been in bondage for over 400 years. And God had heard their cry. When we look at the things that God allowed to come to pass, that Pharaoh might allow the children of Israel to leave, that Moses would go into them and he would say, "God, I want you to let the children of Israel go." We look at the plagues that came upon Israel that God had sent. And yet finally we realize that we know that the Bible teaches us that there on the last thing that God had told Moses to tell the children of Israel to place the blood upon the doorpost and the upper post, and that those that did not have that blood applied, that he would pass over, and that the firstborn would be taken. God no doubt had brought the children of Israel out of Egypt with a mighty hand, the Bible says. And as he brought them out, he began to lead them. Now, we know there that not only did he bring them to that point, but yet that he had led them across the Red Sea. And not only did he lead them across the Red Sea, but he stood there in the presence of the Red Sea, and we know that Moses stretched out his hand with a staff and the waters parted, and the Bible says that they walked across on dry land. The children of Israel had seen some mighty things come to place. We know there that 3 months had went by, and they come there into Mount Sinai. And as they come there to Mount Sinai, we know then that the law was given there. As Moses was led up into the mountain, we know that the law was given, the Ten Commandments. Now, for time of sake of reading, I'm not going to read all of those things. But you can find that for your own reading in the 20th chapter of Exodus. But I do want to read this. He had given them the law. God had spoken these things. And in the 18th verse of the 20th chapter of Exodus, I want to read just a partial couple of verses. It says, "All the people saw the thunderings and the lightning and the noise and the trumpet and the mountain smoking. And when the people saw it, they removed and stood afar off. And they said unto Moses, Speak thou with us, for we will hear. But let not God speak with us, lest we die. And Moses said unto the people, Fear not, for God is come to prove you, that his fear may be before your faces, that ye sin not. And the people stood afar off, and Moses drew near unto the thick darkness where God was." I want to look also, and for your reading, we can look in Proverbs 1 and 7, says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction." Proverbs 1 and 7. The beginning, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. He says here, "Moses said unto the people, Fear not, for God has come to prove you, to test you, that his fear may be before your faces, that you sin not." I thought a lot about this week, that it seems like in the day and time of the society that we live in, and I know that we hear a lot about this. And I know I've spoke on a little bit of this, but I hear people all the time saying, well, sinners have changed. Sinners haven't changed. I got off a little bit on this last week, but it's still on our hearts. Sinners hadn't changed. Sinners are still sinners. But this morning, that we as God's people, and the circumstances that we're living in, and the things that come upon us through the things of the world, they get in our way. And they, if we allow them to, can cause a separation between us and God, our Creator. And those things that we allow to come into play are as sin. It's those things in our life. And I want you to realize this morning that God has given us His instruction, and He has given us His Word, that it may be a help unto us. Now listen. It says, "All the people saw the thunderings and the lightning and the noise of the trumpet and the mountain smoking. And when the people saw it, they removed and stood afar off." God has come to prove you, that His fear may be before your faces, that you sin not. I want you to realize this morning that God's desire and His heart for us is that we might glorify His name which is in heaven, and that we do our very best to sin not. He's given us our Word. I believe in all of my heart that should be our desire as God's people, to do the best that we can not to sin. You say, well, preacher, that's hard. I realize that this morning that it's hard. But yet on the same hand, God's Word has been given to us as God's people that it might help sanctify us and cleanse us, that we may be renewed daily, that we're able to go out into the world. I began to think about these things, that God had led the children out of Israel with a mighty hand. All the things that God had done in just a short amount of time. All the miracles that they had seen. All the manna that had been sent down from heaven. All of these things. And yet God is here and He's given them His Word. And yet we find here beyond that, He says, not only that, but I want you to start building and working on the tabernacle, that it might be established. And yet as Moses is led up of the mountain, that God allows him to go up there, the Bible says, and that he's there for 40 days and 40 nights, and yet God, with his own finger, writes the law upon two tablets. I want you to know something this morning, that I realized this morning that this Bible, the words that are printed in it, cannot save us, but yet I want you to know this morning that it's a help to us. It's a direction in our life that when things get rough and we don't know which way to go, Lord, is this the right thing? Or, Lord, is this the right thing? I just don't know which way to go. That we can look into His Word and it'll direct our path. That it's a lamp unto our feet. Yet all these things that they had seen. And no sooner that the children of Israel are there and they've seen all of these things. Folks, I'm telling you, it's in a short amount of time. I'm not telling you that this took place over years. But as Moses is there on Mount, and yet the finger of God is writing out the law, the children of Israel become weary. And they say, Moses is gone. Where's Moses at? He's not here. Where's he at? The very thing that God had told them not to do is the very thing that as soon as times get hard, they said, that's what we're going to do. They began to turn back to their old ways. You say, well, what exactly did they do? Well, in a short form, in 32nd chapter of Exodus, the children of Israel says that in the first verse, and when the people saw that Moses delayed to come down out of the mount, the people gathered themselves together unto Aaron and said unto him, up, make us gods which shall go before us. As for this Moses and the man that brought us out of the land of Egypt, we wot not is become of him. And Aaron said unto them, break off the golden earrings which are in the ears of the wives and your sons and your daughters, and bring them unto me. And it says, and all the people break off their golden earrings which were in their ears and brought them unto Aaron. And he received them in their hand and fashioned them with a graven tool. After that he had made the molten calf. That they said, these be our gods, O Israel, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt. And Aaron saw it, and he built an altar before it, and Aaron made a proclamation and said, tomorrow is the feast of the Lord. Now, I want to stop there. Moses had been up on the mountain 39 days. He was to be up there 40 days and 40 nights, and yet the people said, where's he at? All the things that they had seen come to pass. I'm telling you, I can't imagine being there in that moment and standing knowing that Pharaoh's army is behind me, and yet we're right here at the Red Sea and thinking, Lord, we should have never left Egypt, we should have never done this, or we should have never done that, and yet Moses steps forward with his staff and they walk across it on dry land. Not only that, but all the things that God allowed to come to pass, and yet no time has really passed here, and they said, Moses has not returned. I don't know if they thought within themselves that run off, or maybe he's died. I don't know. I don't know what they thought. But boy, they wouldn't waste no time. They said, we need something that's going to lead us and direct us. We need something that we're able to bow down to. Aaron, within himself, he didn't have no, bless his heart, and I don't mean this mean, but he didn't have no backbone about him. He didn't stand up for the truth and say, listen, this is not the right way. We need to seek out the counsel of God. There's nowhere in the Scripture that points to that. Yet he does exactly what they want. He says, well, give me your golden earrings of your wives and your sons. And he casts and makes this golden calf. I want to read a little bit down here. God instructs Moses to leave. I'll get to my point, just bear with me a moment. It says in the Lord, in the ninth verse, and the Lord said unto Moses, I have seen this people, and behold, it is a stiff-necked people. Now therefore, let me alone, that my wrath may wax hot against them, that I may consume them, and I will make thee a great nation. And Moses besought the Lord his God and said, Lord, doeth thy wrath wax hot against thy people, which thou hast forth out of the land of Egypt, and with great power and with a mighty hand. Therefore should the Egyptians speak and say, for mischief did bring them out, and slay them in the mountains, and consume them from the face of the earth. Turn thou from the fierce wrath, and repent to this evil against thy people. Remember Abraham and Isaac and Israel, thy servants, in whom thou swearest by thine own self, and saidest unto them, I will multiply thy seed in the stars of heaven. And this land I have spoken, I will give unto thy seed, and thou shalt inherit it forever. And the Lord repented of the evil which he thought to do unto his people. Moses then turned and went down from the mount and took two tables of the testimony which were in his hand. And the tables were written on both sides, and one side of the other were they written. And the tables were the work of God, and the writing was the writing of God, graven upon the tables. And Joshua heard the noise of the people as they shouted and said unto Moses, there is noise of war in the camp. And he said, is it not the voice of them that shout for a mastery, neither in the voice of them that cry for being overcome, but the voice of them that sing, I do hear. And I want to stop there for just a moment this morning. Moses had seen, no doubt, this great thing. God had called out to Moses and said, Moses, there's something going on down there. You've got needs to get back down. No doubt the wrath of God, he was angry and he was upset. And I want you to know something this morning, whether you are a child of God or whether you are here this morning and lost and separated from him, you must need to understand the wrath of God. God means serious business. And I believe in my very heart this morning that he has an intention for his people, God's people, to listen to him and to place him first in their life. That we are to take God and exalt him in our homes and in our workplaces and to do the very best that we can. That you say, well, preacher, I realize it is hard. And folks, I'm just being honest with you this morning. It's one of the hardest things to me is to be a Christian. And that word Christian means to be Christ-like. And folks, I'll just tell you this morning, there's a lot of times in my life I do not feel very Christ-like. I looked at Charles Spurgeon, and I don't agree with everything Charles Spurgeon ever preached. But that man did make a comment and has made many throughout the years that a lot of people put confidence in. But he said that, he said within myself I battle with the inward man and the outward man. And this morning, that's how I feel. There was a war that's going on inside. And if you contend to be a Christian, if you claim to be a Christian this morning, there's a battle going on inside of you as well. There's a war that's going on. But I want you to know and realize this morning is that God has moved mountains in your life if you are a child of His. He may have never brought you out of the land of Egypt, but my friend, he's worked miracles in your life. If he has saved your soul, he's worked a miracle in your life. He has brought you from death unto life. God has moved mountains in our lives, and yet it's so easy for me that when God comes and he passes by me, it seems like when I'm on a mountain It seems like when I'm closest to God, that's when Satan creeps up. Is he not for you? It seems like when I'm trying to walk my closest to the Lord, that's when Satan makes his way upon the scene. Just like when Jesus was led up there at the mountain, and the Bible says that he was tempted by the devil. This morning, my friend, I want you to know that Jesus Christ encountered everything that we would, and yet he surpassed it all. Listen, a lot of times when we're being led up to the mountain, Satan is on the scene. He knows this morning that he cannot have our soul. He knows that he can't take the promise that God has placed in here. But I tell you what he does want. He wants to distract us with the things of the world. He wants us to see these things. Whatever it is, whether going back to the law, whether we're coveting something, or we're angry, or whatever it is, whether we're lusting, whatever it is, he wants to take our distraction, and he wants to magnify it. Listen, he wants to take our eyes off Jesus. Now listen this morning. Here they are. Moses said, Lord, would you not forget your people? Would you not forget them, Lord? And yet as Moses comes down, it says that the Lord repented of the evil which he had thought to do unto his people. It says, here he comes with the tables of the work of God which were written of God graven upon the table. Upon the table. Joshua come out and he said, Lord, he said, there's been talk. And then I want to read this in the 9th verse. It says, and it come to pass as soon as he came up nigh unto the camp that he saw the calf and the dancing, and Moses' anger was waxed hot and cast the tables out of his hand and brake them beneath the mount. And he took the calf which they had made and burned it in the fire, and ground up the powder, and strode it upon the water, and made the children of Israel drink of it. And Moses said unto Aaron, what did this people unto thee, that thou hast brought so great sin upon them? And Aaron said, let not the anger of my Lord wax hot. Thou knowest the people, they are set on mischief. For they said unto me, make us a god which shall go before us, as for this Moses, the man that brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we not has become of him. And I said unto them, whatsoever hath any gold, let them break it off. And so gave it to me, and I cast it in the fire, and there came out this calf. And Moses saw that the people were naked, for Aaron had made them naked upon their shame among their enemies. Then Moses stood in the gate of the camp and said, who is on the Lord's side? Let him come unto me. And all the sons of Levi gathered themselves together unto him. And I know this morning this has been a lot of reading, but I want to get to my point in the verse 26 there. I guess if I had to title this subject this morning, this is what I'd title it. When Moses stood in the gate of the camp and said, who is on the Lord's side? Let him come unto me. Moses stood there in the gate of the camp. He stood there. God had a great desire to see the children of Israel. He gave them instruction for the tabernacle. He had been laying out the law unto them. Great amount of things was taking place in these 40 days and 40 nights. He'd give them instruction for the ark. All of these things. And yet we realize that just as soon as a little something came along, they began to turn away. This morning, I want you to understand that it's our focus to keep our eyes upon Jesus, that the sin of the world may come upon us. But here he is in this very moment. He says, as he stood there, he said, who is on the Lord's side? Let him come unto me. This morning, I'll ask you, who is on the Lord's side? What's more important to us? Is this place important to us? As Moses was there, and he was there at the burning bush, we realized that God told him, he said, remove thy shoes. He said, for your own holy ground. And this morning I believe in all of my heart that this place is holy ground. I believe that. When we enter into God's house, that he means serious business. That we put the things of the world out from our minds for a little while and that we come into this place. and that we worship Him, and that we praise Him, and that we choose who it is that we're going to serve. Whose side are we on? Are we on the world's side? What side? This morning, listen to me, lost friend. Who is it that you're going to choose? Are you going to choose destruction? Are you going to choose the things of the world? Are you going to choose hell that lasts for eternity? Are you going to choose heaven? Are you going to choose God? And you say, well, preacher, it's not my choice. Yes, it is your choice. You've got a choice this morning. There was a song, and I'm not promoting George Jones this morning, but he said, I've had choices all of my life since the day that I was born. There was voices, he said, that told me right from wrong. Listen. This morning, you've got a choice. You have the choice to choose. James 4 and 7 says, submit yourselves therefore unto God and resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Listen this morning. You say, preacher, I don't know how to do that. I'll tell you what it takes, and we heard it Sunday night, is prayer and meditation, seeking out the will of God. I remember what it's like to be lost. Church, I feel like sometimes we need to remember what it was like to be lost. I can remember sitting there knowing in my heart that was beating 90 miles an hour, that I was uncomfortable, that I didn't have what everybody else around me had, that I knew that if I died, that I was going to hell. And you say, well, preacher, you wouldn't but 9 or 10 years old. You're exactly right. And I'll stand before you today, I believe in all of my heart, that if I would have left that night at 9 or 10 years old and walked out those doors and a car would have hit me at Rocky Mount and died, I believe I'd open my eyes in hell. I believe that. That's as real to me as anything. God convicted me. He let me know where I stood with Him. And I felt like that night was my night. And I felt that. I don't know if I remember feeling exactly that, but it was almost a sense of you choose. You want this to go away. You want this hurt. You want this load. You want all of this to disappear. Come to me. And that's what Moses did. He stood there in the gate of that camp. And he proclaimed that day. He said, you pick today. You choose today who you're going to serve. He said, let it be known. Church, I'm telling you, I don't mean to hurt nobody's feelings. I don't mean to get on nobody. But I want to look over here. I'll just tell you the convictions of my heart. James, the writer, like I said in chapter 4, verse 7, he says, submit yourself therefore unto God and resist the devil, and he will flee from you. You say, preacher, that's harder than it's said and done. Is it? Is it really? I tell you, the more and more and older I've got, I sense that when something is not right, that I'm in a situation or I'm in a conversation or, listen, I'll just tell you how it is. If you're not real careful and you're at the workplace and you're to be a Christian, everybody knows that our light is shining, is it not? And you're standing there and somebody gets to telling a dirty joke or something. And before you know it, you're laughing right along with it. I'm telling you, I've been in those situations in the past. But here's the nature of it. Anymore, I guess you could say I've become somewhat of a hermit. I sit out by myself. I don't commune with it. I don't have no part with it. I don't want no part of it. Because it interferes with my walk with God. I've got a desire that's down deep in my heart that when the morning rolls around, Lord, help me to do better today. I don't want to fail you. You know what I look forward to most of all about going to heaven and being in His presence most of all? That I know that I won't fail Him no more. I won't let Him down no more. I won't sin no more. I won't have to worry about this old flesh no more. That I'll be there in His presence and I'll be in the likeness of Him. I'll finally be what He would want me to be. I don't have to worry about failing Him no more. I'm going to tell you what's special. Listen, I know my reading's a lot this morning, but I want to point it out the best way I can. Romans 5 says, and 19th verse, for as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. But where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. That as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. I want you to know this morning that as God's people, sin still enables us to be separated. I'm not talking about on a long-term view, but I'm telling you we get down to a place just as David was, that he said it's just taking the joy away. He got so immersed into sin that it just taken away the joy that's down in his heart. This morning, folks, I'm telling you that we've got to get those things out of our way. We tell lost people all the time, go seek the Lord. Listen, folks, Jesus still was telling us to come unto Him as His people. We want things to change. We want things to get better. We want the lost to be saved. We've got to be willing to go unto Jesus. We've got to be willing to get our lives cleaned up. We've got to be willing to sanctify, to cleanse. I'm telling you, I stand before you this morning and I tell you, I'm not perfect. I'm not perfect. But I'm going to tell you what's wonderful about it all. That I know that I fail Him every day. I still ask God for forgiveness every day. Because I know I fail Him every single day. You say, well, preacher, you're saved. I am saved. But I want to walk with Him. Folks, I'm telling you about having a relationship with Him. I'm not merely just talking about coming to church on Sunday morning, which I encourage you to do. I'm not talking about just coming to church for Sunday school, which I encourage you to do. Get your children here. I'm not just talking to you about coming on Wednesday night, which I encourage you to do. Get your children here. But I'm talking about having a relationship with Him. Each and every day. Drawing closer to Him. Walking with Him. Learning from Him. I tell you what's special. When I feel like I fail, and I let Him down, which I do a lot, He says over there, the writer did, he said, where sin did abound, he said, grace did much more abound. When I feel like I failed Him, you know what? And I get down to a place where I ask God, Lord, would you just stir up that joy one more time in my heart, God? Give me something one more time, Lord. If you'll just allow me to preach one more time, God, give it to me one more time. Just scotch me up and use me one more time, God. Just help me. And then He steps in and I feel that grace come in and it's just there and it resonates and it just fills my heart with that love. You know, that's what that word means, grace. It means unmerited favor. It means receiving something that you don't deserve. You know what those Egyptians deserved. Those Israelites deserved. They deserved the full extent of God's wrath. They did. You want to know what I deserve? The full extent of God's wrath. If I got what I deserved this morning, I'd wake up one day after a while and I would burn and burn and burn and burn and burn forever and forever and forever if I got what I deserved. But the love of God is far beyond what we can imagine. And He said, I love Him enough. And He loves you enough that He wants you to do right and He wants you to do good and He wants you to choose who you're going to serve and He wants you to walk a life that's pleasing unto Him. Listen to me, young people. I want you to understand there's a thing going on that people say, well, young people need to get out and sow their wild oats. I've got out and done things, and I'll tell you today, you ain't got to do all that. You don't have to get out and make a mess and make a fool of yourself. You don't have to go out and do all of that. You can just decide to live for Jesus. You say, it's hard, preacher. It is hard. It's the hardest thing I've ever done in my life. But it's the most rewarded thing that I've ever had in my life, too. There's a song that the Snead family sings that said, I wouldn't take nothing for my journey now. And I'm telling you, I wouldn't take nothing for it. God's been good to me. Choose today who you're going to serve. Jesus is standing at the door of the camp and He says, are you going to serve me? Or are you going to go and serve the world? Listen, lost person, Jesus is standing at the door and He's saying, who are you going to serve? Are you going to serve me? Or are you going to serve the devil? Listen to me, young person, you don't have to get out of the things of the world, I'm telling you. I've had friends years ago that when I was 16, 15, 16 year old, I'll just be honest with you, I wasn't in church like I ought to. Our big thing used to be, and I didn't mean to get off on all this, but I feel the need to tell this story. I was 15, 16 year old, the big thing to do in Macon County in Lafayette was ride the strip. That's all we had to do. We didn't have skating rinks and bowling alleys. We didn't have none of that. So we'd all gas our trucks up on Friday nights and we'd go ride around the square and back down around Sonic and we'd go park somewhere and listen to the radio or whatever it was. And I remember I'd been out of church for a little while. I had a friend of mine pulled up. He cripped his window down and he said, hey, bud. I was sitting there talking with girls and different things and he said, boy, we miss you at church. I looked at him. I said, I don't want to talk about church. He said, we'd love to have you back. I'm not in the mood to talk about church. That young man meant more to me because it wasn't much long after that I was there at school and the Lord called me to preach. I got back into church. I tried to start walking closer to God. What I'm saying is, instead of being like me, being out here in the world, be like that friend. Be like that friend, the one that encourages, saying, hey, we miss you, church. Encourage you, friends. Encourage you, lost friends. Listen, which one are we going to choose today? The world looks awful appealing. It does. It's so easy to get to that place in our life and say, well, God, you're lingering around. You're lingering through this situation. I'm going to do something else. I'm going to serve something else. I'm going to do something else. folks, God is always right on time. This morning, who are we going to serve? I suppose that I'll always be in bondage to sin, in a sense. But I think Paul says it the best. He said, "Now then, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find out, find not. For the good that I would do, that I do not. But the evil which I would not, that I do. Now, if I would do that I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man." David was a man after God's own heart, and he had a desire in his heart to do good. Church, I want to tell you this morning, we're going to fail God. We're just going to. But I want you to know this morning, we need to have a desire in our heart. A desire to want to do good. A desire to want to do right. A desire to resist the devil that he may flee from us. People say, "Well, things were years ago with our grandparents and this and that." We still serve the same God that they did. We still serve the same God. He's never changed. It's me. It's Casey Cole that allows things to get in my way between me and him. But I want you to know that I'm trying to do better every day. I want to make a choice to serve him. That it doesn't matter. People are going to get mad and people are going to get upset and people are going to say this and people are going to say that. But guess what? In the end, if Jesus is satisfied, is that what matters? Amen. Listen, he said, "But I see another law in the members, warring against the law of the mind and bringing into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members." He said, "O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with my mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin." Paul said, "O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body of this death?" Thanks be unto God, it's Jesus Christ. Thanks be unto God. One day after a while, one day, I'm going to serve Him like I truly want to serve Him. One day after a while, this old body, this old flesh is not going to fail Him anymore. Church, I realize sin is hard for us to overcome. I get it. But God wants us to try harder and harder to walk closer and closer with Him. Why is that? I'm going to tell you this. When things come our way, we need to be in a place that we can seek out God's counsel and His will. We don't need to be where we can't pray to God and ask Him to save our children, to save our lost, to do this, to heal our land, whatever it is that we're standing in need of. Folks, we've got to examine ourselves and get ourselves in a place where we can serve God. We've got to try our very best to walk accordingly to His plan. I'm not standing up here this morning claiming to be perfect, because I'm not. I'm not. I told y'all when I first come here, I'm going to fail you at some point. I won't mean to. I won't try to, but I will, just because that's my nature as a man. But I've got a desire in my heart to serve Him, to lift His holy name up the best way that I can. And all of us can do our little part. Lost friend, you want to know what separates you this morning? It's sin. Sin. You want to be saved? Make a choice today who you're going to serve. That day that I was lost and separated from God, like I said, I had to choose. All of us did. We all had a choice. God didn't make me. He didn't push me off of my seat. He didn't make me do something I didn't want to do. Listen, you want to be lost and you want to go to hell, you just keep doing what you're doing. Just keep sitting there, never making a move. You have a choice this morning. Who are we going to serve? I promise you, you choose to serve God. It's not an easy road. But boy, I tell you what, it's a good road. It's a good road. He has blessed me and my life far beyond what I can imagine. Me and Jessica have sat down and talked and said, me and her's going to be married 10 years this year. We were sitting there the other day. Said, honey, could you have ever imagined 10 years ago we'd be where we are today? It ain't nothing that I've done, but it's what God has done for me in my life. It's because I've tried my very, very weak way to serve Him. I'm weak. But God has been good to me. Choose the Lord. Choose Him. That's our message this morning. I know I've been long. I'm sorry. That's what the Lord's put on our heart. Get us a song. Seek the Lord this morning if God's dealing with you. Choose God. Choose Jesus. I promise you, you won't regret it. There's been a lot of things in my life that I've regretted. But I'm going to tell you one of them I've never regretted is getting saved on an old motor beach. I've never regretted it. Seek the Lord while you've got opportunity.